This is the Best of the Adam Gold Show podcast, brought to you by Coach Pete at Capital Financial Advisory Group. Visit us at capitalfinancialusa.com. This is the Adam Gold Show.
It's been an excruciating, painful life with no football. And then it's time. Unless the weather's not cooperating, and then we got to wait 40 more minutes.
Yep.
That was fantastic. Football? Nope, we don't have it. A weather delay. Perfect. But after the weather delay, we have football. And you know what that means? Football means field goals.
I didn't watch any of the Hall of Fame game as the preseason, the first friendly of American football, was this past Thursday. And the friendlies resume, I believe, this Thursday.
They do.
Panthers friendly in Landover, Maryland against the Commandos.
Yeah.
Again, they should have stayed with the Washington football team or gone to DCFC, and I'd be on board.
Yeah.
Commandos is a stupid name, and DCFC would have been brilliant.
Washington football team, I'm not going to lie, I liked
it. I liked it. A good friend of mine has been a Washington football fan for his entire life and worked for the team a little bit. I mean, did shows, was an anchor up there, and hated the idea that they would be called the Washington football team forever.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm telling you, it would have been brilliant. But that's not what they did. So Panthers v. Washington at Landover, coming up on, I think it's Saturday afternoon, right?
1 o'clock.
Why are we playing daytime preseason games?
Why not?
No, seriously. I mean, it's a billion degrees.
That's
like,
true.
Play them at night.
Also a billion degrees.
Yeah, but at least the sun's not beating on you.
That's
are we asking
point.
To kill players in the preseason? I don't get it.
Probably.
Like, do we not care?
No.
Well, that's true. I think we've pretty much cemented the fact that we do not care. All right, we do this at 1 o'clock whenever Chip Patterson's not on with us at 1 o'clock, which is on Wednesdays, which is we put out a poll. Dennis puts out a poll, and we ask for your input regarding what we should discuss in this particular segment. It is a listener's choice poll. Here are your options in reverse order of the vote. The NFL appeal of the Deshaun Watson verdict. Nobody really cares. Nothing's going to happen. We've already talked about it.
Mm-hmm.
So we're happy to move on. It got 8% of the vote. Second, are the Atlanta Braves done? No, of course they're not done. They're like medium well. Only lost 4 or 5.
You are
at Citi
enjoying
Field.
This. And I'm okay with it.
Can I be?
I'm 100% okay with it, by the way.
I really believe that I am a very rational fan. I recognize that baseball is fickle.
Mm-hmm.
For instance, August 1st of last year, the Atlanta Braves were under 500.
That's a good point.
And they won a World Series. Apparently, Braves fans have forgotten that.
Hmm.
Because they are talking like they have unlocked the key. This is how you win in the postseason. Something that they have never done. With all of that, I like that team. I think the Braves will be good. I think the Braves will be a challenge. I don't know that their starting pitching is as good as the Mets, but they have great bats. They're just not necessarily hitting right now. But I had no problem with the Braves. I like the Braves. I've never been anti-Brave, ever. Even as the Mets could not get over on them for basically a decade. But I'm not anti-Brave. I'm anti-Yankee. I'm anti-Cardinal. I hate those two teams more than, you know, I hate mold. So that's that segment for me. The third choice, this was match week one
mm-hmm.
for the Premier League. The sport that got me to buy Peacock for $5 a month. And I watched a ton of the Premier League this weekend. I probably watched 6 matches in their entirety.
Goodness.
Oh, I'm telling you. It was awesome. They do a great job. They cover the league so well. And even though you had to buy Peacock to get it, City was spectacular yesterday. Kevin De Bruyne's through ball to Erling Haaland for the second goal was magic. It was tremendous. They obviously winning at West Ham, even though West Ham didn't really have the full complement that they'll have coming up in a couple of weeks. They made another signing. But City's got off to a great start. They looked awesome. Liverpool didn't look as good, but I was probably more impressed with Fulham Saturday morning than I was disappointed in Liverpool. Oh, Fulham was dynamite. Got a chance, if you're a U.S. men's national team fan, you got a chance to watch Anthony Robinson, Jedi Robinson, and Tim Ream on the back line. And I thought both were awesome in the first half. Robinson was still very good in the second half. Ream, not quite as good, but probably shouldn't be playing 90 minutes. But Fulham, I thought, was very impressive. Really, I think that they'll stay up. I don't think they will get relegated again. I watched a little of Tottenham. I watched two more Americans for Leeds United. Mm-hmm. Brandon Aaronson was one of the best two or three players on the field. And Tyler Adams was excellent as a defensive midfielder. Just controlled the play. So good stuff if you're a men's national team fan to see U.S. players succeed in the best league in the world is really good. I think is a good sign for the World Cup. So Leeds won. They beat Wolves 2-1. I watched Tottenham. I watched Man U, who is just dreadful. They were better in the second half, but man, were they dreadful in the first half. They have issues that go beyond culture and trying to be something that they no longer are, which is a force. More farce than force. Mm-hmm. They just don't have enough, I mean, real good players. As they say, they lack quality. That's my, and I watched Chelsea and Everton. I feel for Everton. I think Everton's going to struggle to stay up. I think they ultimately will, but I think they're going to struggle to stay up. And that's a heritage club. That's a club that's been around for a long, long, long time. All right, but what people wanted to hear, and we finally got to
it. Yeah.
Because I needed to talk a little bit about the Premier League. Position battles for the Panthers, which won the vote. It was a pretty close vote, though. It's a competitive vote.
It was.
Just a few votes separated one, two, and three. Position battles for the Panthers. I think there are three that are intriguing for me.
Sure.
Obviously, the most one for people is going to be quarterback, Baker Mayfield, Sam Darnold. To me, if Baker Mayfield is not the starting quarterback, that's a problem. That's because Baker isn't good enough. And that's, again, maybe it's not a problem, to be honest. They didn't give up anything for Baker Mayfield. So it really was a free shot. But if they want to be like anything other than bad this year, Baker's got to be the quarterback. I think they could be competent if Baker Mayfield's the quarterback. They won't be if Sam Darnold's the quarterback. The other two, and I'll go in reverse order, and I mentioned left tackle before, but wide receiver.
Mm-hmm.
DJ Moore's their best wide receiver. Who's their second best wide receiver?
Christian McCaffrey.
Well, yes. Receiver, not wide receiver. Second best receiver. Actually, he might be their receiver.
He might be their second best wide receiver,
well,
too.
That's true, if they split him out wide.
Yeah.
And I've been saying this for years since McCaffrey came in the league. You don't just throw it to him out of the backfield. You put him in formation.
Yeah.
You put him in the pass formation.
The guy can run great routes.
He's tremendous. But their second best wide receiver, I think, has to ultimately be Terrace Marshall.
Yeah.
Not Robbie Anderson. Robbie Anderson is a DH. He's essentially the home run hitter. He is a poor man's Ted Ginn. Huh. And if they could get to the point where Robbie Anderson is that guy and somebody is ahead of him, consider Terrace Marshall in some ways Jericho Cotchery.
Yeah.
when Cotrie was with the Jets, you had the best version of Jericho Cotrie. Or with the Steelers, because he was with the Steelers for a couple years, right?
Yeah, he was great in Pittsburgh.
Tremendous possession receiver. That's what he was at State. That's what he was with the Jets. That's what he was with the Steelers. And he really was still pretty good with the Panthers. But if Marshall could get to that level and be a reliable, because he's big enough, he's 6'2", a reliable target for whoever the quarterback is, and let Robbie Anderson just be the guy to take the top off the defense, they'll at least have a pretty good core at the top of their wide receiver chart. And the other thing, of course, is left tackle. I think they're better served if Ike Ekwonu is the starter and they can slide Brady Christensen inside, because if Ekwonu is not the starter, then he's probably not ready to play guard either. But we'll have to see how it plays out. But those are the three positions that I think are the most important for the Panthers, even though they're probably cornerback issues, safety next to Jeremy Chinn, linebacker. There are things like that all over the field, and hopefully they stay healthy.
Adam Gold in studio with my man, Coach Pete DeRuiter with the Capital Financial Advisory Group. We're talking retirement, and Coach, I'm a simple guy, but I like colors. Tell me how I can color code money and get ready for retirement.
I like colors too. I like pictures. Colors. I like graphs. I don't like just a bunch of words. And so what we try to do is we try to break down all those words on your statement, all those numbers, into three colors: red, green, yellow. People are amazed when they come in, and most of their money is in the red category.
Yeah, I don't want that.
Now, red means high horsepower potential. It also means high loss potential. So you have to, it's a give and take. You can be willing to do that or that. Yellow means liquid money. You can get it any time. It's not going to earn anything. Green gives you safe growth, but also gives you lifetime income. As we get closer to retirement, we need some green accounts. We need the green zone, we call it. And Baghdad green zone was important. Green zone's important for you, too. The next 10 people, Adam, it's a $1,000 value. Golden ticket we're going to put together for you, your very own total plan that has a green zone.
It's a traffic light. I hope it's green for you. 800-661-7383 or text Adam to 21000 for Coach Pete DeRuiter.
And we have some breaking news as I interrupt Stevie Wonder, and I should never do that. The USA Today has released the coaches poll in which, let me just get this right, 66 coaches, head coaches, have voted who they believe is the number one team in the country or the top 25. Not a surprise, 54 of them said Alabama. 5 of them said Ohio State. They placed second. Georgia got 6 first-place votes, 3rd. Clemson is 4th. There was a first-place vote for Texas. I would like to send a doctor for that person. And 5 ACC schools were in the top 25. NC State comes in at number 13. Andrea Adelson from ESPN is not a football coach, therefore did not take part in this poll, but she's been kind enough to join us to talk college football. I appreciate your time, Ms. Adelson. How are you?
I am great. How are you?
Doing very well. Did you raise an eyebrow when you saw Texas got a first-place vote?
All I can do is laugh at this point, right? I mean, I can't even find the words. The laughter really speaks for itself. That coach shouldn't be allowed to vote, right? I mean, should we all be in agreement that coach should be immediately taken off the panel?
I'm with you. Florida State got a vote. It was a 25th place vote. And it probably, I don't know if it was the same person, because I guess it couldn't be, who voted. I think Florida State got 2 votes to win the Atlantic Division at ACC football kickoff. Florida State got 2 votes. I think a vote for Boston College is more justifiable, albeit crazy, than Florida State. And Georgia Tech got votes. What's going on with people?
Well, those are media members, so maybe you can make an excuse for media members, right? Like, all let right. me just take a flyer, and I might be the guy that everyone's talking about at the end of the season. But for a coach to make this type of a vote in the preseason, yeah, I can't really justify that at all.
Andrea Adelson from ESPN is joining us here. You can follow her on Twitter at @AAdelsonESPN. Before we get into what I thought was a fascinating long-form piece, which surprised me that you must have been busy doing other things, that they did not bother you to lend your insight to this, because I love reading your stuff. Just a complete remaking of the sport of college football. I want to get to that, but I saw you for 2 days at media days in Charlotte. And how would you term what that was? I know you guys had football things to discuss, but there were so many other things that were on head coaches' minds and were talked about in the halls of the Westin. So how would you describe what those 2 days were like? What was your takeaway?
I honestly cannot remember asking fewer questions about position battles and specific X's and O's to coaches than we did while we were in Charlotte, because so many other issues have dominated the conversation over the last several months. And yeah, sure, realignment is obviously one of them, but so are all the other things that you alluded to in our series here that we ran last week about the future of college football and where things are headed, whether we're talking about, you know, the transfer portal and NIL and so many other off the field issues. I had to remind myself, oh, wait, like stop going in the weeds on some of these non-football topics and remember to ask the coaches about who's going to win the running back competition? How are the quarterbacks looking? Because we're all so laser focused on so many other topics that have dominated this offseason. Yeah. And so that's kind of what it felt like in Charlotte still, that the focus wasn't 100% completely on the field football product and what that is going to look like for the ACC, more so on some of the bigger picture issues that as it relates to what coaches are dealing with, but obviously what the ACC is dealing with in terms of what its future will look like.
One of my colleagues here, and we're talking with Andrea Adelson from ESPN, has been critical of the essentially who the ACC expanded with. And without getting into specifics, there were like, some of them were media markets more so than football programs, and I get it. But I've always thought that the ACC would have been in good position if their football brands had continued to play good football. It's been a long time since Miami has been a consistently good football program. Virginia Tech's been mediocre for the better part of the last decade. Florida State hasn't been great since Jimbo Fisher dragged his Christmas tree out on December 2nd and left for Texas A&M. So their best programs just haven't been that good other than Clemson.
And that's exactly what you hear either behind closed doors or talking to administrators and folks who work at schools or inside the ACC. It's that if the marquee brands just played the way they've been expected to play, this wouldn't be such a huge issue the way that it is right now, right? If Miami and Florida State and Virginia Tech and Clemson were perennial top 10 teams, the way that the SEC generally has four teams ranked in the top 10 every year, would their media contract look this way? No, no, it would not. Now, having said that, the ACC has issues that the SEC does not have. And a lot of that stems from the fact that this has been a basketball-centric conference in the past. And a lot of that stems from the fact that you've got smaller private schools inside the ACC, more so than, you know, Vanderbilt, right, which is the only one in the SEC. And so that makes it difficult to have that wide-ranging football audience where you do have, you know, hundreds of thousands of rabid football fans who are seeking out that content. And so that's part of the issue, you know, beyond the top four or the top five. Now, you know, in terms of who the ACC has added, if you go back to 2003, when they added Miami and Virginia Tech, everybody applauded that move, right? That was supposed to strengthen the conference. Nobody should have an issue with that. And then when they did it again with Syracuse and Pitt and Louisville, a lot of that was also to strengthen the conference and deal a death knell to the Big East, which had been a longtime goal of the ACC, right? So a lot of that history maybe is forgotten because of the way those moves look right now. But I think those were necessary moves for the ACC in those very moments. This was the most powerful, conference and the most financially successful. It's just that football never got going the way anybody expected it to. And therefore, here we are still waiting on Miami and Florida State and Virginia Tech to reach the same types of successes that they reached in the 90s and the 2000s, the 80s for Miami and Florida State. Mm-hmm. Hasn't quite happened. So, yes, I agree with you completely that a lot of the issues inside this conference would be solved if those teams start winning 10, 11, 12 games and competing for national championships.
Andrea Adelson from ESPN is here. All right, to the piece, which, again, I found great. I found outside the box thinking, and I think some of the ideas in some cases are very doable. For instance, bowl games to start the season, even though the teams wouldn't be the same, because the one thing I kept hearing from, and we talked to some bowl reps in Charlotte, and I've talked to bowl reps before, is everybody's worried about, like, the rash of opt-outs. And I get it. If your bowls were in the beginning of the season, now obviously there are going to be postseason games, but if your bowls were, you know, half of them or so, we're in the beginning of the season. Nobody's opting out of those. How doable is something like that?
Yeah, I appreciate you taking a look at this. And we did a whole entire week series on what the future of college football looks like. So even though I wasn't in this group, I was a part of another package that we did run. And this one is something that we discussed collectively as a group of reporters, college football reporters at ESPN.com, because we felt it was important to really think outside the box and find creative, different ways to solve a lot of these issues that we have been talking about that have dominated the conversation. And I love this idea of having bowl games to start off the season as these preseason, not even preseason, as these exhibition type games, mm-hmm. because you do solve the issue of players opting out, which is a continuing issue and one that I don't think anybody believes is going away anytime soon. It'll probably get even worse once we get into an expanded playoff era, right? Mm-hmm. Because once we get into an expanded playoff era, why would anyone risk playing in a bowl game, you know, at this point, especially if you're going to be a day one or day two NFL pick? So I know when my colleagues broached this idea, it was something that they thought about in terms of, wow, that seems like a pretty good idea, a pretty good solution. At the same time, as you know, it's very hard to move away from the traditions of college football and the way people are used to things happening in college football. And everybody's used to the bowl games being played at the end of the season as a reward mm-hmm. for teams. I'm all for removing, let's make it a reward and let's just go with it and make these games more attractive, more marketable, where you can field rosters of players that are interested in playing this game and that game has an impact on the season. How doable is it? I don't necessarily think it's 100% completely doable, but I'm never going to say never. I really hope that administrators are thinking outside the box and taking some outside the box approaches to this, because they're the ones who are telling us that college football is in need of something to get it out of this deep hole that it's headed into. Okay. That's the way they're feeling. That's the way they're approaching the situation. Why not change things up a little bit and make it to where you're finding different creative ways to do essentially the same things you've always done?
Andrea Adelson from ESPN is joining us here. Desperation or survival causes people to think differently. And I know during the pandemic year, it caused a lot of people to think differently. I've been very curious as to why we haven't seen bleed over from that. I thought we would see in, like, the professional leagues, I thought we would see like the NHL and the NBA schedule. So if you played twice, you know, one team played twice on the road at another city, knock them both out in one trip because it would be easier on your players. But we haven't seen that. Do you sense that we might see any real different thinking in the sport, or is college football still too tied to traditions that drive it?
It really feels right now that college football still is too tied to traditions, even though so many traditions have been busted up during realignment over the last decade and a half, right? I mean, so many of the games that we all love to see and want to see are no longer played, and we've just gone along with it as if it's no big deal because we still want to have our college football still. So, you know, I feel like I'm talking out of both sides of my mouth here when I say, you know, college football is so ingrained in the traditions, and yet some traditions no longer exist. But, you know, in terms of what the calendar looks like and really thinking long and hard about that, about travel, especially with what's going to happen with USC and UCLA joining the Big Ten. Mm-hmm. You feel like travel has to be reimagined in some way. Look at West Virginia, what they've had to go through, you know, in the Big 12, not just for football, right? For all their other sports. Hasn't happened yet, right? The reimagination of what needs to be done there. I personally, on an Olympic sport level, would love to see far more regional games played and maybe a select number of conference games. Because I just think that helps everybody. It helps the sport. It helps with whatever the financials are going to look like. I know everyone's tied to a conference, but does it make a ton of sense for Syracuse to be spending a large portion of its time in North Carolina on three different road trips, right? You know, and that's just one example. So, you know, again, they're so busy. It feels like to me, they're so busy complaining, but not busy actually doing the work to fix a lot of the problems that have only grown in nature, that we're so far away from people getting on the same page of what it's going to take to actually fix it.
Do we have a trophy yet for the annual USC Maryland football game? They haven't figured that out yet. I'm here for that because, you know, Terrapin fans, and I'm a graduate of the University of Maryland, we always loved when Southern Cal came into Byrd Stadium to play the Terps. All right, final thing for Andrew Adelson. Clemson voted fourth, NC State 13th, Pitt 16th, Miami 17th, Wake Forest 19th. Not necessarily your thoughts on where they sit nationally. That's probably fair. But did you vote in Charlotte? And if you did, who'd you pick on either side?
Well, I did vote in Charlotte, and I also submitted a top 25 for our own ESPN.com power rankings, where essentially we all vote, and then it's just like this. We come up with what it looks like after all the votes are tabulated. I did not have Clemson in the top four. I did not have Miami ranked. And so those are just my quick thoughts on those. I think Clemson still has a lot more to prove for me to believe they're back to being a playoff team after what we saw last season. But having said that, I picked them to win the ACC because, again, they have the most talent in the league. And if they can get DJ Uiagalelei to be serviceable at the very least, right, and get the offensive line to play a little bit better and get some of the receivers to stop dropping passes and to make some plays, even if they are little five-yard outs, right, to help out DJ to build up that confidence. I like what they have in the running back room. I like the backfield that they have. The defense is going to be outstanding once again. So it's not really a question there. But if they can just get DJ to be functioning like not even what we expect out of a Clemson quarterback, right? Like what Cole Stout did would be better than what he did last season. Then I think Clemson wins the ACC. But I still think it's not enough for them to be a playoff team this year. I still think they're going to lose a game, you know, whether it's Notre Dame, whether it's some conference game. I wanted to pick somebody other than Clemson in the ACC, but when I started looking at the matchups, the home games, who plays where, who has who, it went back to Clemson once again.
Yeah, that's the state game at Clemson to me is the division. It's hard to argue Clemson. I did pick NC State, but it's hard to argue with the talent level of Clemson. And if DJ can just like be Kelly Bryant, that might be enough. I appreciate the Cole Stout blast there. That is fantastic. Andrew Adelson, is good to catch up. We'll talk to you soon. I appreciate your time.
All right. Thanks for having me again. Talk to you soon.
You got it. Andrew Adelson from ESPN. All right. We've only gone 3 minutes into added time. And that's good. I saw 10 minutes on the board yesterday.
And now your halftime entertainment. entertainment.
Chelsea Everton, right?
Chelsea Everton was 10 minutes after just a terrible giveaway by the guy who ultimately got hurt, Godfrey. It was a terrible giveaway. Pickford tried to save it. Dumb idea. Just let it go out of bounds, take the corner, and then referee doesn't, the AR doesn't blow it dead. He should have. And then Godfrey's leg's broken.
Poor guy. Broken legs stink, by the way. I know from experience.
Not arguing.
Happy National Fried Chicken and Waffles Day, Adam.
It's Fried Chicken and Waffles Day.
It is.
Very nice.
I might actually, I have a waffle maker at home. I might buy some chicken legs, fry them, and make chicken and waffles.
All right. I got no problem with it.
Because who doesn't love chicken and waffles? I want to know whoever decided that was like, hey, you know what? We should put fried chicken on a waffle.
Well, let me ask this question.
Whoever did that, I love them.
Do you like fried chicken?
Yeah.
Do you like waffles?
Yes.
Okay. And those two things can go together.
They can.
Right?
Not every great thing goes together.
Like, do you like, I don't know, do you like apple pie?
No.
Never mind. Go. Just go on.
Yeah.
Go on.
Okay. I don't like cooked and baked fruits.
No, that's fine. It's fine. It's all good. Just go on.
Okay. By the way, ESPN's going to be doing a 30 for 30 on Bill Walton.
Oh, my gosh.
That's our automatically must-watch TV.
I am watching that.
That's automatically must-watch
TV. You know, Bill Walton, every year at the Final Four, is a one-question, 20-minute interview.
Yeah.
One question.
I experienced that for the first time in person.
Yeah. He's the best. I love Bill Walton so much. So much. There was a time where we were doing daily top four at fours.
Mm-hmm.
We'd ask a question, give me the top four of this. And when Walton sat down, it was top four Grateful Dead songs. And he looked at me and he went, it's all one song. And he's got a point.
That's fair.
He's got a point.
That's a good point.
And then he rattled off like 20.
Of course. Because you can't pick just four.
Nope.
The Field of Dreams game is coming up next week. Actually, later on this week, on the 12th, the uniforms have been revealed. So the Reds are playing the Cubs, and the Reds are wearing uniforms they wore back in 1919 when they beat the White Sox in the World Series, you know, the old 1919 Black Sox scandal, which featured Joe Jackson, who was a key part of the Field of Dreams.
God.
Well done, whomever did this. Like, this is deep cut. I love it.
This is beautiful.
Yes.
This is so ironic.
I know. Like, this is perfect.
Have you seen the aerial shot of the two logos carved into the cornfield?
I have not.
Very
yet.
Cool. It is
not
very cool.
Not for this year yet, but no, yes, I have seen it from
I've
last
seen the
year.
Aerial. No, I saw a picture of it.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, they're not doing that, like, tomorrow.
No.
I think they've already carved it in.
But
it's beautiful.
Also, it's funny that they're wearing the uniforms from 1919.
Say it ain't
so. And they're
so.
Playing the other Chicago team. Like, this is a straight dig at the White Sox, I feel like.
It is too bad that it is not the White Sox.
It should be.
It should. I agree. Should be the White Sox. No sense of humor.
Top Gun Maverick, now the seventh biggest film at the domestic box office. Not going worldwide, but domestic box office.
Seventh biggest?
Yes. $662 million, just passing now Titanic.
Seventh biggest ever?
In the U.S. for domestic box office. Seventh biggest ever. They just passed Titanic. They recently passed the first Avengers movie. It's made $1.3 billion total worldwide, and it hasn't even been shown in Russia or China.
Interesting.
Which are huge markets, especially China, for coming to films. The next on the list for movies, I guess you could say, it could surpass for, again, domestic box office will be Avengers Infinity War, which had $678 million. So they're about $16 million behind. Movie's still in theaters.
What? The
Top Gun Maverick.
Yeah, I'm amazed that it's been there for as long. When did it come out? It came out like 2.5 months ago.
Yeah,
it
was about 2 months ago.
So, you know, the other day, maybe it was a week or so ago, we dialed up and watch the original Top Gun, figuring, all right, let's watch this so Jack can see it, can get a framework, because he's 13, he hasn't seen Top Gun, so he can get a framework for what it's like, and then we'll watch Top Gun Maverick. And then I realized that it's not available yet.
Because it's still in theaters.
Still in the movie theaters.
It's still in theaters.
It's been like 3 years since I've been to a movie theater.
It's been a few weeks for me. I love going to the movie theaters. I still do. By the way, the number one grossing film domestically, Star Wars The Force Awakens, $936 million. Again, that's just in the U.S.
Okay.
Avengers Endgame and Spider-Man No Way Home are the next two after that.
Force Awakens, that's episode seven. Yeah. Okay. I saw that one. It's fine.
It was okay.
Yeah.
But, you know, there's a lot of hype around it.
Yes, there was.
Final thing here. This was actually posted on Twitter an hour ago.
Okay.
And I had to vet it to make sure it was clean. You're about to hear the sounds of Duke offensive lineman Chance Lytle, who's 6'7", 329 pounds, 6 years senior, singing opera.
Oh, really?
I'm gonna give this guy just a standing ovation.
That's Chase Lytle?
Yeah.
Okay.
Or Chance Lytle.
Chance Lytle, my fault. All right. We'd have to get a trained voice expert to tell you whether or not that really hit all the notes that he's supposed to hit.
It hit.
I mean,
for me,
it's certainly much better than 99% of the human beings could do. So I'm not going to criticize that, but I will say that this is why Duke won't win a conference game.
This is the reason.
This is the reason.
They're too busy. They're too busy doing opera and not watching film.
This is why Duke will go 0-8 in the ACC. But it's lovely. It's lovely. And I appreciate his teammates. I assume those are his teammates.
No, they
right?
are.
Right. Cheering for him. Good for Chance Lytle. I'm kidding,
not,
obviously.
That's impressive.
No, very impressive.
Yeah.
Very impressive. I love a little culture is good for everybody. Like, go get it. Go get it, Chance.
I'm for it.
He should sing the national anthem before games.
That'd be awesome.
That would be tremendous.
If he does it in an opera style, yes.
All right. So later on, when Dennis continues the program's look at an NFL city, we're going to Detroit. The choices were Motown, and it's sad that we didn't have you on camera there.
Just now?
Dennis went to a place.
I did.
With Michael Jackson.
It's the Jackson 5.
It is the Jackson 5, right, but Michael's singing. So you just went to a place. It was interesting to watch. So we had a choice between Motown or Bob Seger.
Yeah.
I mean, there were others, too. I mean, we could have done others. Could have done Kid Rock.
Could have done Eminem.
Right, of course. But we chose Motown. Dennis was like, yeah, no, we're doing Motown. I'm like, all right, good. I got no problem with it. I'm a Motown guy. But Dennis has taken himself to a place. So that's good. So we'll profile Detroit coming up at 2:30.
Yes.
Right? We're going to do that at 2:30. We'll talk a little baseball with Kevin Kernan of ball9.com, longtime New York Post baseball writer, columnist. We'll do that at 2:15. And it's not entirely about the Mets taking 4 of 5 from the Braves.
No.
Because there were some other significant things that happened. By the way, Padres got swept by the Dodgers, right? They did this weekend. Fernando Tatis has begun a minor league rehab stint. So at some point in the next, let's just say, week or so, we're going to have that batting order fully operational with Soto, Machado, Tatis, and why am I drawing a blank on the fourth guy?
Machado, Tatis, Soto, Josh Bell?
Josh Bell, right.
Yeah.
Who was also acquired from Washington in the trade.
Mm-hmm.
That should be pretty daunting. I'm not sure that the Padres are better than the Dodgers, but it's going to make them very interesting when we get to the postseason.
It's going to make it fun.
Like, here's what we need to learn from baseball's postseason, in case you haven't been paying attention. Just get in. Just get in.
Right, Braves fans? Isn't that the formula?
The Nationals a few years ago had the worst record in baseball when they got in.
Yeah.
And the Braves might have too. I don't know. I think the Braves had the worst record in the National League last year. But just get in. If you're good enough to get in, then you're good enough to win it.
Mm-hmm.
The margins in at the top level of baseball are razor thin. Any of us know that. Right?
Right, Braves fans?
It's not quite like hockey.
No.
Because I think that in a seven-game series, more likely than not, better team's going to win. But, man, baseball turns on one pitch out of 300. About 300 pitches in a game. One pitch. Sometimes it's all it is. And sometimes that the outcome of that pitch is lucky. So, all right, let's play some bets.
Place your bets. Place your bets. Here we are.
I bet you slice into the woods $100.
Gambling is illegal at Bushwood, sir, and I never slide.
Death! Okay, you can owe me. I owe you nothing.
I don't know what Hayes did while I saw a couple of the golf futures. Like, yeah. They were the Harold Varner to win, the Webb Simpson to win. They were basically both toast by noon on Thursday.
Yeah.
I was out there and I saw, like, are you serious?
Yeah.
Like, Varner was 4 over par or whatever. I'm like, what are you doing to me, Hayes?
That's why he didn't bet on anything on Friday.
He didn't?
He just, no.
He sat Friday out?
Yeah.
Good for him. Thank you.
He realized not doing anything would actually be better for you than actually attempting to do something good.
Thank you, Hayes. I appreciate that. All right, you start us off, Dennis.
All right, I'm doing a big Major League Baseball parlay today.
Good.
Mets over the Reds, Cubs over the Nats, Padres over the Giants, D-backs over the Pirates, A's over the Angels, plus 670.
All right, man. I'm gonna throw a monkey wrench into your however many team parlay it was.
Five legs.
With the first game.
Okay.
Mets took 4 or 5 from the Braves.
Yeah.
They've won 12 of their last 14, including a sweep of the Yankees, two-game sweep of the Yankees. They're on fire. Mm-hmm. They lose to the Reds today at Citi Field, Cincinnati plus 265.
How dare you?
I'm just saying.
You're doing that to me.
No, no. Okay. They're playing great. You're allowed to lose. I think they lose tonight.
Okay. All right. Also, give me Shohei Ohtani hitting a home run plus 400.
Oh, we're back on this.
Yes, we are.
Every day until he hits a home run.
I switch it up every once in a while.
Oh, do you?
Yeah.
Sometimes you go Anthony Rizzo. That's been...
I did hit that.
That's been very good. All right. To the tennis tournament that is being played in Montreal. Mm. This is a U.S. Open hard court tune-up. The U.S. Open is only, what, 2 weeks away?
Really?
Yeah. Two weeks away.
So they're in a little dungeon.
Flushing Meadows in New York, which, by the way, anybody that if you're into Grand Slam tennis, like I know a lot of people that have gone to Wimbledon and that's great, or have gone to the French Open. The U.S. Open is an absolute experience for sports fans. It is tremendous. Give me this event right now. This tune-up is in, I think it's in Montreal, Toronto. So I'll go with a Canadian.
WTA's in Toronto.
Where's the...
Montreal.
Montreal. Okay, good. Denis Shapovalov?
Sure.
Shapo. Plus 130 to beat Alex de Minaur.
Sounds right.
Give me that. Give me Shapo plus 130.
Okay. I'm going to go to the English Championship. The England Championship.
I am too.
Heading to the pitch. West Brom versus Watford. Draw plus 220.
Now, see, now I...
Is that literally what you had?
That is exactly what I had.
Take it then.
No.
Yes,
we can't have the same.
Let's win units together, Adam.
No, we can't have the same. It's not fun that way.
Oh.
It's not fun that way. All right. Since I considered Watford to win at West Brom as well. And this is a difficult one because Watford has a home match to Burnley. Watford and Burnley were both dropped. They're both relegated from the Premier League last year.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Because both of those, they finished 18th and 19th. Norwich was just dreadful last year. They might have dropped down two levels. They might have dropped. They were so bad, they might have dropped down to League One. So, because Burnley and Watford play middle of the week. Like, I think they play Friday. I was going to go with a draw, but we'll go Watford to win at West Brom at whatever that's like
plus 195.
Watford to win plus 195.
Okay.
At West Brom, and we'll close on that. I have not been very successful of late on the pitch. I have not been very successful. But I would have, had I been here, I would have gone heavy on Brighton at Old Trafford. Probably Friday. I would have gone heavy on Brighton. I have zero faith in Man U. None. That outfit has... They have not bottomed out. They're not going to... I know in the poll we said, will they be relegated? They have too much talent to be relegated. But I can definitely see them finishing out of the top 10 in the Premier League. I think it is that dire for them. I really do. I don't think they're good at all. And there's a lot of quality. Newcastle is going to be really good. I think West Ham will be good.
This is the Adam Gold Show.
Finding a perfect suit can seem impossible, but finding a suit that's perfect for you is simple with Indochino. Choose your favorite fabric and customize every detail. Then submit your measurements online or get measured in store for a custom made-for-you fit at an incredible price. And with Indochino's fall collection featuring new colors and premium fabrics, you'll be in style all season long. Indochino makes it easy to craft a look that suits you perfectly. Suits start at just $449, and fitted shirts start at just $89. And you can fine-tune every detail, lapels, linings, monograms, and more. Create a personalized wardrobe that doesn't cost a fortune with options like shirts, casual wear, and outerwear. Want to elevate your look? Indochino lets you make any suit a tux. Design your perfect suit today with Indochino. Get $50 off any purchase of $399 or more with promo code FALLUPDATE at Indochino.com. That's INDOCHINO.com. Promo code FALLUPDATE.